The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Today has seen the ESRI publish their latest findings in terms of the attitudes of the public to COVID-19. Deirdre Robertson is a researcher at the ESRI Behavioural Research Unit and joins me now. Deirdre, as always, you're welcome to the show. Can you talk us through the main findings here?
Sure. Well, thanks very much for having me. So, as you said, this is the latest published data. So it was collected in the first week of July. And we asked people about what they've been doing over the past week. And then we asked them detailed questions about what they did while they were there. And we've seen an increase in people visiting cafes, pubs, restaurants, exercise facilities and hotels, perhaps unsurprising, over the last month as these have all opened. And we've also found that people aren't necessarily meeting more people than they were last month, but they are being slightly less careful when they do. So we've seen an increase in what would be defined as close contacts by the HSE if somebody was positive with COVID-19. And the biggest increase in these close contacts are happening in households and in hospitality venues. But on a positive note, with that, as the vaccine program has rolled out extensively, more people who've had a close contact have been vaccinated than unvaccinated at this stage.
And that increase, Deirdre, in the number of close contacts, is it simply because we're meeting more people, or because the people we're meeting we're around with for longer, or we're spending more time indoors, or is it a bit of both?
Yeah, multiple factors. So close contact is defined by, you know, whether you're indoors and whether you're maintaining social distance from somebody and whether there's good ventilation if you're indoors. So, for example, we know that when people go on social visits to other people's homes, there's been a slight increase in the duration which people are spending in someone else's house and whether they've been socially distancing or not. So it's multiple different factors, but it seems to be just a little less caution rather than a massive increase in the number of people that others are meeting.
Okay, so that's interesting. So they're not necessarily meeting more people, but the people they are meeting, they maybe aren't as guarded as they were the last time the survey was done.
Exactly, yeah.
And the share of people, I'm looking at it here as well, who are very often or always cautious, the overall level of caution out there, that's on the way down.
Well, it is, but it's very slow. So it's on the way down since about April, but actually it's still around 40% of people who we could define as highly cautious. And that means that every time they leave the house, they're most likely to be wearing sanitizer, trying to distance from people, wearing a mask when they're in close contact with people. So there has been a small decline over the last few months, but it is important to put it in the context that actually most people are still being cautious, even though we do see this slow decline.
And there is, as you'd imagine as well, a commensurate increase in the amount of people who are rarely cautious. But I assume the people who are rarely cautious are the people who have two vaccines.
Yeah, so we do see it's kind of slightly hard to unpick people's behaviour because the vaccine rollout is just happening so fast that
yes,
somebody's behaviour could stay the same, but they jump into a vaccinated category from one wave of the survey to the other. But it does seem that in terms of close contacts and even in terms of social visits to people's houses, that yes, more of these close contacts and what we would have called risky factors are happening with people who've had two doses of the vaccine now.
And is there any indication of what impact the presence of Delta has had on people's behaviour?
There's some hints in it. So bear in mind that this was collected in the first week of July, and it's only really in the past week that, you know, we've seen the bigger rise in cases and the NPHET briefing. But there are some hints in there. So, for example, we ask people what they expect to happen with restrictions in the next month. And we've seen a decline in the number of people who expect an easing of restrictions next month, so in August, and an increase in those who actually expect a tightening. So that might be related to Delta. And we've also seen that worry hasn't really changed. It was going down, but it hasn't really changed over the last few waves that we've been collecting this data. So it's still at around 6/10. So those are indications that people might be aware that this new variation is circulating, but it'll be interesting to see the next time we collect it whether there's a bigger change.
Yeah, it certainly will. I mean, something else that I've always been interested in these surveys is how you measure well-being among different age groups. What is the latest told you on that?
So we just asked people straight out on a scale of 1 to 7, how well they're feeling. And we haven't seen any change from previous. There was a big dip in well-being in January and February, as you might expect. And then that was slowly rising over the course of the summer. And now we haven't seen a change. And we do see differences in well-being between age groups. So younger people tend to report worse well-being than older adults at the moment.
All right, that is interesting. And I mentioned before the break that we were going to talk a little bit about vaccine hesitancy as well, because I suppose what has been great for our vaccine rollout is that low level of hesitancy. But there's maybe some indications it's rising in certain cohorts, albeit only a small amount.
Well, I can give you the good news on that, which is that's what we thought when we last did this. So in the data collection, the wave before this, where it looked as if there was an increase in hesitancy, particularly in the under 40s. But actually this week, we see that that's dropped right down again. So overall, there's only around 4% of the population who say they definitely won't take the vaccine. And younger people tend to be a bit more hesitant, but it's only 5% of the under 40s who say they won't take it. And we've also seen this wave a big jump in the number of people under 35 who are registered for the vaccine. And we have to bear in mind that when we were collecting this data, it was only halfway through it that it was announced that 18 to 35 year olds could register in their pharmacy. So just even over half of the week, it seemed there was a huge jump in the number of younger people then who were registering. So overall, it seems that those anecdotal reports about pharmacies being inundated with calls actually probably are correct in what we're seeing in the data with the number of people who want to take the vaccine and the number of people who are registered.
Yeah, I think there's just an acceptance, isn't there? And an almost universal acceptance that vaccines are the way out of this, and people just want to get out of it. They want to put it behind them. The other thing we talk about sometimes in this show is where people can go and what they can do after the 19th of July. And, you know, there's some talk of people booking holidays. I'm not quite sure how many, though. Have you looked into that?
We have, yeah, and it's quite interesting actually. So we find that 70% of people say they're not planning to travel in 2021, which is quite a high figure. And we've broken that down by people who are not vaccinated at all, who've received one dose, and those who are fully vaccinated, and it doesn't differ much. So across all of those groups, it's around 70% say they don't have plans to travel in 2021. One difference we find is that people who are fully vaccinated, if they plan to travel, so the 30% of them, they're slightly more likely to have booked something. But even within that, it's only around half of that group who have actually booked something if they do intend to travel.
A feature of all of these surveys, though, as well, Deirdre, like since the start of this as well, hasn't it been that people have a fear of how they'll be perceived by their neighbours and their peers in terms of how they act? And I just wonder, would you expect, as somebody who works in this area, would you expect once you get past the 19th of July and some people do start travelling, that actually that number might soften a little?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, so much of our behaviour is dictated by, or at least influenced by, what we see people around us doing. So if on the 19th of July, loads of people suddenly book travel, I can certainly see that some people would be influenced by that. But the other important thing to remember is that what we find is the biggest influence on behaviour throughout this and since last March is worry. And if people are remaining worried about the virus and worried about their own personal health, then that might counteract the effect of seeing other people travelling. So I think it remains to be seen how much the cases rise and how that will change people's attitudes and behaviour towards this, because the two things are going to have an influence.
Yeah, well, we know they're going to rise. Stephen Donnelly speaking in the Shannon earlier today, saying there's going to be about 1,200 the case figure today. I think it's 1,400 north of the border. Their case figures already published. Deirdre, a pleasure to speak to you as always. Deirdre Robertson is a researcher with the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. They're publishing their latest round of research into COVID-19 attitudes. Today,